Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations.
Good morning. It's 6:04, four past the hour in Hartford. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I'm Dick Whitworth, filling in for vacationing Bill Arnold. I can't help it. Every time I hear that song, I feel like playing an air guitar. It just lends itself to that. Welcome. Good day to you. And as we look around our Faith Radio Network, it looks like mostly sunny and certainly highs in the upper 70s, low 80s in most places. Again, a dense fog advisory in the Sioux Falls area and also in the area of Rapid City, South Dakota. Still fighting smoke, apparently a fire in Colorado and the smoke coming their way. So watch it if you have breathing issues in South Dakota, but glad to have you tuning in this morning. And a special welcome again to our friends in Hartford at 94.1, in Waterloo at 93.1, and our Madison friends at 104.7 FM in Madison. As we think about today, there's so much news to get to. So excited about our conversations. We'll be talking to a national representative from the Convoy of Hope already on the scene and doing amazing work in Houston. It's going to be exciting to hear what is happening, what they are doing today, and how long they expect really the recovery and restoration efforts to keep going. And also today, Rebecca, we're going to ask the question of you, our listeners. As you think about the past summer, maybe just the year in general, what's one thing today that you are most grateful for, that you would love to hear from, you know, that you would like to express to others or say thank you to the Lord? You're just one thing that you're most grateful. Anything come to mind for you? I know this is last minute.
Well, this expresses my own issues, I'm sure, but the first thing that came to my mind was coffee. Coffee and lovely donuts. I am grateful that I have the freedom and the ability to be able to come and go as I please today. And that's something that as I was looking around the devastation that was left in the wake of the hurricane that we've been talking about and praying for, people are trapped. People have lost so much, but then they lose their ability to determine where you go, what's safe for you and for your family. I saw pictures of this little newborn that was stuck in an attic for two or 3 days and his little brother holding him and thinking to feel that kind of trapped at that age would just be terrible. And so I'm glad that those folks are getting rescued, but I'm also glad that I have the freedom of mobility and the freedom to be able to go and do what I need to and not even give it a second thought. That's a blessing I hadn't thought about too much until this week.
That is interesting. Yes, that's clearly been part of the problem in Houston is that people have been trapped and immobilized and really very, very scary. Well, we're going to be talking to our friend from Convoy of Hope in just a few moments. I do want to read a verse or two out of Psalm 34. I love this psalm. I will extol, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And I think really out of that is where I'm hoping to hear from you today at 877-933-2484. Love to hear today what you are most thankful for. It is the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Dick Whitworth, 8 past the hour. We're going to be back with our friends from Convoy of Hope in just a few moments. Ten past the hour, you're listening to the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Dick Whitworth filling in for Bill, who is deservedly on vacation. Our first guest in hour number one is Jeff Nini. Jeff is a national spokesman for Convoy of Hope, a ministry that if you don't know much about, you're going to be impressed. They have a tremendous track record. And so, Jeff, without further ado, good morning and welcome to the Early Morning Late Show.
Good morning, Dick. It's great to be with you this morning.
Well, we appreciate your time and certainly want to get to the Houston really challenge before Convoy of Hope. But we're asking our guests and we're asking our listeners today, and so I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you say or name one thing today that you are most thankful for? Love to hear what is in Jeff Nini's heart today.
I don't know if I can limit it to one. I mean, you know, the first would be my wife and family, and the second current, you know, that's most pressing is I'm really thankful for this team that I'm serving with down here. These are an amazing bunch of guys and gals, and when you spend time in the field and you sleep and shower and work in tough conditions, you really bond together, and these folks are wonderful.
That's great. No, that is a great thing to be thankful for, certainly to the team you work with and for, and certainly a great transition into exactly what is going on in Houston. Where are you located specifically?
Right now, I'm in Victoria, Texas, which is southwest of Houston. Up until today, the folks that do what we do, the disaster response people, have not even been able to get into Houston because of the flooding. Everything is closed, and they've got it pretty well locked down. We're actually sending our first loads, tractor-trailer loads of product into Houston today.
Okay. Jeff, you're not a novice at this, and we're going to talk about the Convoy of Hope a little more specifically, but you're not a novice. This is not your first disaster relief challenge. What were your first impressions upon arriving in South Texas?
You know, it's interesting. This one reminds me of a combination of Hurricane Katrina and Joplin. The tornado
sure.
that hit Joplin several years ago. We've been to disasters all around the world. But this one, because it's on the Gulf and because of the expanse of the damage, I mean, just the area, the land mass and the mass of people that have been affected is difficult to express. You can't get the gist of it from television or radio or, you know, your web news, things like that. It's just so big, and that's why it reminds me of Katrina. I mean, entire communities all up and down the Gulf without power, without utilities. But then the town that we're in Victoria right now, where we're basing out of, is about the size of Joplin, Missouri, and Joplin was very close to our heart because it was right down the road from where we're based. So it kind of reminds me of those two.
Okay. For the uninitiated, kind of give us a thumbnail sketch, because I do want to get into the specifics of some of the things that you have done and are doing in South Texas. But to the uninitiated, who is Convoy of Hope? Well, give us a little bit of your background, your mission, and some of the work that you've done.
Sure. Thank you. We're a faith-based organization. And our mission statement says it this way: Convoy of Hope is a faith-based organization with a driving passion to feed the world. And really, that's what we do. We use food to share the gospel. So when people come to this distribution site, they're coming to receive food and water and emergency supplies. But what they're getting is a practical demonstration of the love of Christ. And we do that in everything we do. We have children's feeding programs all over the world. We have women's job training and women's empowerment programs in several different countries. We do a lot of things. Community outreach events here in the U.S., probably 30 or so a year spread out across the country. And disaster response has become a very big part of what we do for probably the last 15 to 18 years. But every one of those has the same thing in common. Whatever we're doing it to share the gospel. We're doing it to equip the local church to be able to share the gospel once we leave.
Oh, that's great. Well, Jeff, we are so grateful to have you on the air and to talk about Convoy of Hope, and we are certainly grateful For the work and ministry that you do. We're going to be taking a break here in just a few moments. We'll come back and then we'll dive into a little more of the specifics of what is happening in Victoria and certainly surrounding areas. Jeff Nene is our guest today on the Early Morning Late Show. He is a national spokesperson for Convoy of Hope. We'll be back with more. Happy Thursday, 17 past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth filling in for Bill Arnold. It is still the Early Morning Late Show, just without Bill this week. He'll be back on Tuesday after Labor Day, and so I know you'll look forward to that. And by the way, if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. If you watch any TV and cable news or anything like that, it has been extremely discouraging, and so we'd love to know today, kind of as an antidote, what are you thankful for? So if you have something, give us a call, and we'd like to hear what that may be. Jeff Nene is the national spokesman for Convoy of Hope on the ground in Texas, actually in Victoria, Texas. And, Jeff, what are some of the things that where do you start? What have you been doing? Where do you start?
Well, our team actually starts – it's interesting. Hurricanes – are the easiest disaster to prepare for because you can see them coming. And so what's happened is when the Weather Channel or the National Weather Service announces, hey, there's a tropical storm, our team starts to watch. They just start to pay attention, and then they track that. And as it intensifies, like in the case of Harvey, as it intensifies, then we start ramping up our preparations. We start getting our equipment ready. It's always ready to go anyway, but you know, you do the fine tuning, you start packing things, loading trucks, and you get ready to go. And that's what happened here. We started getting ready. Our trucks actually left Missouri before the storm ever was close to landfall. We were already in San Antonio, Texas, with all of our vehicles, all of our equipment, all of our supplies when the storm made landfall. We moved into Corpus Christi immediately, spent 2 days there distributing food, water, emergency supplies, and then moved up here to Victoria to be closer to where the real serious impact area is. This is pretty close. We're inland, but this is pretty close to Ground Zero, where it's been, you know, where the most devastation has happened. And what we've done is we try to position in a place where we can serve different communities, you know, within an hour's drive from here. So we may be based in Victoria, but right now, I think the number's up to 17 towns and cities that we have been working in from this home base.
It's an amazing undertaking that you have. Where do your volunteers come from? Because as I'm looking at some of the notes, you already have about 600 people with you. Where do you get your volunteers?
It's a great story. We get the vast majority of them from local churches, and we do it in two ways. In a case like this, we work immediately. We work with local volunteers from this area that can drive in for the day because there's no infrastructure at this point. You know, most of the hotels aren't open. Power's not on in quite a bit of the area. So if you get this massive influx of volunteers, it becomes very difficult to house and feed them. So what we do is we work with local volunteers from local churches in the immediate days. And then as things start to get back to somewhat normal, we'll bring in church teams from all across the country that they say, hey, Convoy, we want to come in for a week, and we've got 12 people. We want to come in for a week and donate our time. And so we'll start using them during the cleanup phase. After we get through this emergency response phase, the cleanup phase will come where we need to help clean out people's homes, shovel the mud out of their living rooms, pull out the carpet, the drywall that's been wet, things like that.
That's an amazing effort that you're undertaking, and it will be for a significant length of time. How long do you think you'll actually be in the Texas area?
You know, we go into a disaster like this with no timeline whatsoever. But we know from past, like after Hurricane Katrina, we were in the Gulf for several years, somewhere between 4 and 5 years afterwards working. It's not always the same type of work. You know, we progress as the situation on the ground progresses. Same thing in Joplin. But then other times, like there were several hurricanes in Alabama several years ago that just ripped through Alabama, and we were there for about 2 months. So it just kind of depends on how quickly the area comes back, and, you know, a lot of different factors like that.
Talk to us about the million. I'm looking at some of the stats that you folks have already accomplished as of yesterday. 13 loads of food, water, supplies delivered, 7 cities served, 595 volunteers serving over 20,000 people. There are over a million gifts in kind that have been distributed. Talk to me about what that is and who has been giving these gifts in kind.
The gift in kind is product that comes from primarily corporations. Give an example, Home Depot made a very generous donation of products and cash lately. We've been getting supplies. Bass Pro Shops gave us a whole supply of jerky, beef jerky, things like that. We have Georgia Pacific that gives us paper products. Toilet paper, paper towels, napkins, those sorts of things. We have Niagara Water, Culligan Water. We have several different water companies that donate supplies, donate bottled water. And I don't mean small quantities. I mean, we're talking tractor trailer loads. Now we've got over 50 tractor trailer loads of product in the pipeline, which means they've either been distributed or they've been specifically accounted for, and they're on their way. They're in either in or on their way to Texas.
That's so exciting. This has to be an incredible, you know, look at the body of Christ in action. I mean, really, if you're drawing volunteers from local churches, it's got to be invigorating, certainly for those who are participating, but also encouraging for the world at large to see us come together in such a large scale.
It really is. Yesterday, I was showing a pastor around the distribution line. Here on the site, we do distribution as well, and we had this chain of cars. We had over 1,000 cars go through our distribution line yesterday. And as the pastor was walking through the line, we noticed a married couple that was working the line, passing out food and water, and they were praying with this Hispanic family, and just that it was so touching, because you could tell this family was in need. I mean, just by the way they were dressed and the car they were driving and the way they looked and everything, you knew this is a family with a lot of needs. So they were being blessed by being prayed for, but I can guarantee you that couple that prayed for them walked away feeling blessed as well, because sure, they had the opportunity to share the love of Christ.
Jeff, we have about a minute left in our time with you this morning, and certainly appreciate you and what your team is doing. This is amazing. We are praying for you. But I know that there are those listening today that would like to do more. How can they help? What would you recommend that they do? Is there a website? How can we give? Kind of give us the lowdown.
Yeah, absolutely. Continue to pray. That's number one. Second thing is, if you want to give, you can two ways. You can go to convoyofhope.org, and you can follow the stories, and you can also make a secure online credit card donation there. Two other ways, excuse me. You can text the word convoy to 50555. That'll put a $10 donation on your cell phone bill. Then you can always go to our Facebook page and make a donation there as well. So there's several different ways that people can give. And then later on, if your church wants to send a volunteer group, we only deal with groups, not individuals in those cases. It makes it so much more efficient. But they can go to the website, and there's a means on there to register with us and get set up to do that.
Jeff Nini, God bless you. Thank you for your work in South Texas. We are proud of you, and we will be praying for you.
Thank you guys so much. We appreciate that.
All right. You're listening to the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Dick Whitworth. We'll be back with more Lighten Up is coming up.
This is your daily dose of devotion. We buy in bulk and pass the savings on to you. It's the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio.
Thirty minutes past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. Bill is on vacation, but we are grateful today that Kim Cotola is not. She's going to be joining us in the next segment. And by the way, we'd love to hear from you today. 877-933-2484 with your one thing you are most grateful for today. Central Time, 7:35 on the East Coast, certainly in our Hartford area at 94.1 AM 1290 in Hartford, and also some afternoon showers I hear headed your way later today. So just kind of keep that in mind as you're making your plans for this afternoon. Also, a welcome to the many new listeners at 97.5 FM in the Twin Cities. Great to have you tuning in as well. Greg Smalley is a counselor, marriage expert, and author with focus on the family. He says working through conflict is an important aspect of any marriage.
The conflict is good. Combat is what's unhealthy and bad for the relationship. You know, conflict, that's when we get to work through stuff. That's when actually our relationship can become much stronger, as I better understand Erin, what she needs, what maybe was going on for me. Maybe there's something I wasn't aware of. Maybe there's some ineffective pattern in our marriage. So conflict in and of itself is a good thing. In Hosea chapter 2, where God's talking about, here's how I'm going to win back my wife, the children of Israel. One of the things he says that he's going to remove the war, to remove the swords and the spears. And basically what he's saying is that I'm going to take all that bad battle, combat, war from the land. What he's not saying is that I'm going to remove every single thing that we will ever argue about or fight about, because that's what grows us, is iron sharpens iron. When we go through hard times, that really truly benefits our relationships if we learn how to do that in a healthy way.
That's Dr. Greg Smalley from an interview entitled Identifying Your Triggers. You can hear the entire interview at myfaithradio.com. In the search bar, put Identifying Your Triggers. Coming up in just a few moments on the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold is our good friend Kim Cotola. Stay with us.
For those who say there's no place for the Bible in national issues, they've got a lot of history to deny. This is Jim Garlow. There's no question that the Bible speaks to personal faith, to family, to parenting. But it also speaks to community life, civil governments, and yes, national issues. Critics say it was never the intention of our founding fathers to bring the Bible into national issues. Well, I beg to differ. The fundamental principles of our founding fathers and the documents they produced are rooted in biblical faith. What do you suppose they quoted the most when they wrote? The Bible. And the second most quoted document? It was those quoting other people who were quoting the Bible. Make no mistake, the founding fathers understood biblical principles, and so should we. There's more on being well-versed at jimgarlow.com. We'll do our part, keeping you informed at jimgarlow.com.
The Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's always good on Thursdays to hear from our good friend Kim Cotola. She is a pro-life apologist. She doesn't mean she's apologizing for being pro-life, but she's defending the faith, does a great job. And you can hear her Sunday nights at 8 p.m. right here on the Faith Radio Network. It's always great to have Kim aboard. Hey, Kim.
Good morning, Dick. Nice to talk with you today.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
One of the things we're asking, you know, boy, you don't have to go very far. The newspaper, the nearest cable news show, there is so much negative news going on today. We're asking our friends, certainly our listeners as well, but also those guests today with us, what's one thing in light of all that's going on in the world today that Kim Cotola is thankful for? I know I'm kind of throwing you a curveball here at the last minute, but what's one thing you could put your finger on that you would say, I am thankful for?
Oh, it's got to be my faith in Jesus Christ, Dick, and I don't say that to be cheesy. Things are lining up in my faith where the verse that has really come into focus is, we walk by faith and not by sight. And what is this verse doing for me? It's really helping me to gain victory over my emotions. And I think that's something that is so needed in our culture because, as you said, there's so many reasons to be emotionally distraught. Mm-hmm. Minute by minute, there's something new that could just completely throw us. And as we, you know, as we ask the Lord, what would you have me do about these horrible situations, lifelong conflicts, generational problems that our country has never resolved? You know, we walk by faith and not by sight, that all of this is in God's hands and that he's got a place for us to bring his kingdom, love and knowledge and wisdom to the problems. And so I'm really grateful for my faith in Christ. I think I would be extremely depressed and distraught without it.
That's not a cheesy answer. You did very, very well. You go to the head of the class for that answer. It's great to have Kim Cotola with us. You know, Kim, what a crazy world in which we are living. Destroying our past, you know, pulling down statues. There's a story in California, and I don't want you to comment on this particular one, but even a Catholic school is hiding their statues because they want to send a signal that they are really not as exclusive as it may first appear to the Catholics or the Catholic faith, but they want to be more inclusive. But we're trying to erase our past, and it's so hypocritical because some of the more obvious ones, like Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, stands tall in the Smithsonian. Would you kind of comment on that? What are you thinking?
Well, and you know, there was a group of black pastors that approached the Smithsonian 2 years ago and said this was a racist eugenicist who was dedicated to eradicating the Negro race through her work, the Negro Project. Therefore, we think that this statue is offensive and should be removed. The Smithsonian told her no. And it was very interesting the way that they framed the answer. They said that, well, she was a civil rights activist. She was fighting for discrimination, you know, against discrimination and for empowerment of, and this is to a group of black pastors who were telling her who she was. So it's a very interesting double standard that we see, Dick, and anybody paying attention is not surprised by that. But I would encourage you, if you agree that Margaret Sanger should not be honored by the Smithsonian, that you would let them know, and that, you know, people would get behind that as a way to put our faith into action, put our values into action as well. You know, I think the whole monument thing, one of the things that I have heard is, okay, we could have museums. We don't have to erase the history, but we have museums, not monuments. You know, we don't honor these things in the past that were dishonorable. But, that is one that I would like to see come down. I would like to make my voice heard in that conversation. And I think that the Smithsonian has gotten it wrong. I hope that they correct it.
Well, I do too. And I guess from my perspective, if there is a statue to a Margaret Sanger, it needs to be in context with what she stood for, not necessarily that we're celebrating, as you're saying. And I think that's a tragic thing because our democracy is a process. It's been in process for a couple of hundred years, and we've made a lot of mistakes. But we've grown from our past. We don't celebrate those mistakes. But people like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, certainly not perfect people, but who step forward, who is? You know, I mean, it really just becomes we're changing the rules of the game as we keep playing. And so it is really difficult to figure out where we are as a society. I love the article you mentioned by Greg Morse. He's a content strategist for Desiring God. here in the Twin Cities. And he wrote about this whole concept, the monumental problem. And he talks not only about Margaret Sanger, but just about the continuing celebration of this Planned Parenthood movement. And it's just so ironic. Would you comment on his article? Can you kind of explain where he was going with that?
Well, he laid out the facts for anybody who's not aware of them, of the roots of discriminatory hatred at the basis of the Planned Parenthood movement and its founder, Margaret Sanger. And she was in line with the culture of the day and many other leaders at the time. And it wasn't that America was pursuing a master race as the Nazis were at about the same time in the 1930s when she was working. And, you know, and I really don't want to casually just throw that in there.
No.
But that's also part Nazism, but that's also part of the history of Nazism, that the very first people that were taken in Germany were those who were mentally, developmentally disabled. That is a fact. That's where they started. And a big part of what Margaret Sanger was seeking to do was to eradicate developmental disabilities through proper breeding, if you will. Dick, and as offensive as that sounds, that's what it was about. So he's bringing that to light, but he's also calling us to action in his piece. And I agree, it was such an inspiring piece of writing at Desiring God's website by Greg Morse. And he's calling us to action based on Proverbs 24. And what I love about this, you know, those verses, Proverbs 24, 10 to 12 says, rescue those being taken away to death, hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. And if you say, behold, we didn't know it, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? You know, God is not going to let us off the hook for doing nothing if once we know the truth of this. And of course, abortion affects racial minorities disproportionately. Again, that is a fact. We know that African Americans make up about 17% of the population, yet they have 50% or more of the abortions. In places like Manhattan, more black babies are aborted than are born. We can't say we don't know that this is disproportionately impacting this group of people, and it's a very virulent form of covert racism. And Morse says, you know, what we have to do is we have to realize that this is the day of adversity. If you shrink in the day of adversity, Proverbs 24 says, how small is your faith? He says, this is the day when the people of God will share a Facebook post announcing the culture's darling evils and extend the hope of the gospel to them afterwards. And that is really a wonderful template, I think, that we can follow.
Kim Cotola is our guest. Kim is host of the radio broadcast Cradle My Heart Heard on Faith Radio Sunday nights at 8 p.m. More with Kim in a moment. Seven minutes before the top of the hour, I'm Dick Whitworth filling in for Bill Arnold on vacation. By the way, if you're new to Faith Radio, welcome. We are so excited to have you tuning in, whether it's on the Faith Radio app or maybe you're listening to one of our new FM signals in Madison, Waterloo, Hartford, or even here in the Twin Cities. We are so delighted to have you tuning in. We do have a welcome packet for you upon request. It has information about the station, about the schedule, the list of programs and special shows that we have on a daily, weekly basis. Love to send one to you. Give us a call or visit myfaithradio.com to request yours. With me today in the second segment of this hour is Kim Cotola. Kim is, of course, good friend to Faith Radio, a longtime staff member. Certainly in the Twin Cities, she is well known, having been actually selected and elected to the Minnesota Hall of Fame broadcasters. Always good to have Kim with us. And I know one of your heroes, Kim, is Dr. Alveda King. That's Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece. And she was a week ago at a rally in Phoenix, and she got up to pray. And as only Alveda can, she touched heaven. I want you to comment on this little piece that she prayed.
Mm-hmm. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, By the power of your Holy Spirit, we come, thanking you for your love, mercy, and grace, asking that your mercy temper the judgment we surely deserve. We pray in deep and sincere repentance, asking for your forgiveness of our sins. Where we should be living together as brothers and sisters, we as a nation have rejected your truth of one blood, one human race, and embraced racial division leading to the injustice of racism. We have slaughtered our weakest in the womb, the poor, the elderly, and infirm in the name of reproductive rights and social justice. We have embraced inhumanity to humankind in the name of humanism. In constructing and destroying man-made statues in the name of memorials, we have worshipped idols and are reaping the bitter grapes of wrath today.
Wow. Dr. Alveda King, she went on to say, Kim, she prayed, fan the flames of revival. Today we pray for our leaders that they will walk in your ways, accepting the wisdom and godly counsel of your word. Powerful.
Dr. King is such an inspiration. And, you know, like me, her fervor and zeal is born out of sorrow and grief. She participated in abortion as a younger woman. And, you know, she has repented of that. She's been very vocal about multiple abortions and about the deception that was involved in that. And I think, Dick, that her faith forged in that fire of adversity is so strong that she truly is an example of walking by faith. You know, she's a person who's lost so much in life. And whenever we face losses, I think those are the times when we're most tempted to say, where are you, God? I do believe in you, but where are you? And I, in the conversations that I've had with her and the encounters that I've had with her, and certainly watching her public persona, she models a faith in Jesus Christ that just refuses to waver. And I love the boldness of that prayer. And I love phrases like hers saying, we've embraced inhumanity to humankind in the name of humanism. Wow, if that just doesn't say it all. And yet she holds out this hope that we have, that we can intercede and that God will hear and that his will prevail. And, you know, I think that she is such a great leader because, you know, it's easy for us who are pro-life, Dick, it's easy for us who are fighting the good fight on our own little patch of ground to feel like Elijah and think we're the only ones. But she is really carrying forward the torch. And I found her prayer very inspiring. And it was also very encouraging that it happened in such a public forum in front of a presidential rally.
Yes. And then following was Franklin Graham. So it was quite a statement with an exclamation point, to say the very, very least. And I do say this kindly and respectfully, both to you and Dr. King, Dr. Alveda King. You both speak with gravitas because you do come from a place of experience, and your experience can't be discounted. It's not only the Word of God, but you have been on both sides of the issue, and now you are speaking up for Christ, and we applaud you. And that's why we love having you not only every Thursday with Bill Arnold, but also having Cradle My Heart. It is a unique program that is reaching out to people, and you're very inclusive in your conversations. And just take a minute today and talk about who your guest is this Sunday. Love to hear from you. What's going on?
Oh, thank you so much, Dick, and for your vision to air the programs. You know, every opportunity that I have to speak is another act of redemption, showing how the blood of Jesus Christ delivered me out of the hand of the devil. This is what's happening when we choose abortion. We are enslaved to sin, as God's word says, but that is not the end of our story. And so that is what I live to proclaim, that hope and that encouragement to others. This week, we're having an encore presentation with Dr. Miriam Grossman. She was a campus psychiatrist at UCLA, Dick, and, you know, was seeing her patients, her clients coming in devastated by the hookup culture, and in particular, the damage that it does to young women. So she started researching, finding out, well, wait a minute, what about comprehensive sex ed? What about, well, if it's consensual and if it's, you know, protected, then why is it so damaging to the psyche, to the hearts and souls and minds of these young women? And what she uncovered is that comprehensive sex ed is dangerous and wrong, and it's based not on science, but on opinion and ideology. And it's really an eye-opening interview with Dr. Grossman, and I think parents in particular really need to hear what she has to say.
Kim, thank you so much. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. on the Faith Radio Network, that's Central Time. You can hear Kim Cotola with Cradle My Heart. Kim, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Thursday.
Thank you, Dick. Appreciate it.
If you turn the volume up, you might be able to use the carpool lane. See? It pays to listen to the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio.
(877) 933-2484 If you'd like to be a part of the conversation today, we are asking all of our guests today, what's one thing you are most thankful for? And we'd love to hear from you as well. If you feel especially led to give us a call soon. We'll put you on the air and love to hear what you're thankful for today. 877-933-2484. Looking forward to my conversation with Dr. Peter Kapsner. He is professor of Christian ministries at the University of Northwestern here in St. Paul. Yesterday was the first day of school. Love to know how things went for Dr. Kapsner and some of the things he'll be talking about to students in the weeks and months to come. And in the meantime, we'll also be talking to Brant Hansen, a longtime friend. He's an author of a new book called Misfits. Blessed are the misfits. Great news for those who are introverts, spiritual strugglers, or just feel like they're missing something. But it sounds like me, you know. We'll enjoy talking to Brant. All coming up in the next hour of the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.